We're going to the table of the Lord, and I want you to finish your phone calls, folks. No more calls. We're in Exodus, the 12th chapter. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, Now you will notice in the days ahead, they will announce Friday at sundown the new year. That's the civil year. It comes in the fall, before it's on the Feast of the Trumpets, followed by the Feast Day of Atonement, followed by the Feast of the Tabernacles. The religious year started in the spring, and that's what's being talked of here. Speak ye unto the congregation, saying, In the 10th day of this month, I saw people handing out. Does everybody have the elements? You want to hand them out to everybody? I don't want this to continue all night, but the way this is supposed to be done is to be at every phone. And to be there before the festival starts. Who else has not been served? Anybody else? How about that crew in the back? They're supposed to be participating. Get back in the VTR room with it. Who's over there with the elements? Everybody's supposed to be participating in this. Upstairs? Everybody's ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's start over. 12th chapter of Exodus. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now, why would God do that? Why didn't he just take the lamb from the field on the 14th day and kill it? You bring this little lamb in on the 10th day. You know by the 14th day, everybody in the house is in love with that lamb. The kids, you ever seen a little lamb? A sheep can get pretty irritating. Little lambs are nice as ivy or whatever the song says. Well, there's some song about little lambs. You fall in love with little lambs. God's always teaching. Even this hard-headed, never-learn-anything bunch, he's always teaching. At the very least, they're going to feel a little bit. As they see this lamb they've fallen in love with, slain. they're going to feel a little bit of the pain that the Father in heaven, not even light years close, but in kind, quantitatively light years apart, I repeat, but in qualitative kind. God loves His Son, and He's going to see His Son slain, of whom this Lamb is a type. Feel a little bit of the pain, the price. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Don't just enjoy the meal, remember the bitter taste of what is having to be done. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. It's a type of the sin bearer. God hates sin. The picture of that separation that made Christ, when He became what this Lamb represented, cry, "Why hast Thou forsaken me?" And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. Why are they doing that? It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment on the Lord, and the blood which they have put on the posts of the door and the upper posts of the door. The blood shall be to you for a token or sign upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. The night Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and broke it, and I'll return to that. And He took the cup of wine. And this was the night before He was crucified on Passover day. Passover beginning at sundown and ending at sundown the next day. And before He became the sacrificial lamb for the world, He, obeying this command of a memorial with His disciples, was keeping the Passover. And He took bread and broke it. And He took the wine. And as He lifted the cup, He said, "This is my blood which is shed for you. This do in remembrance of me till I come again." They didn't understand all that was going to happen the next day. "And do it in remembrance of me." He was going to give the antitypical, the fulfillment of the type on that Passover day, when He would be the Lamb that had been slain in intention and purpose from the foundations of the earth, as He would offer Himself as a sacrifice for sins, pour out His blood unto death as the payment for all sin. He would rise again and ascends, promising to return. But Paul, in obedience to the command of, just as the first command was to keep the Passover as a memorial of what happened in Egypt, Paul, teaching on the memorial to remember what Jesus said, "This is my blood, and this do in remembrance of me as oft as you take it until I come again." Talking to the Corinthians, warned them about partaking unworthily, twisted so often in the traditional church from an adverb to an adjective. And so often you've heard people look at you at the time of communion taking as these elements are brought out to do what Jesus said to remember him, as through the centuries the Jews were to remember the Passover. And they'll look at you and say, "You better not take unworthy." Because remember, Paul said, if you partake unworthy, you'll drink damnation to yourself. That isn't what Paul said. He said, careful. Examine what you're doing, that you not partake unworthily. In both the Greek and the English, there's a difference in the ending of the word, whether it's an adverb or an adjective. It's one of the few English words that has a suffix on it that defines adverbial or adjectival meanings. An adjective modifies the noun. Adverbs modify the act. Paul said, worry that you don't pay attention and discern that you don't partake unworthily. That's an adverb. It modifies the manner of partaking. It modifies the act, not the actor. And then he defines what doing this act, partaking unworthily, means to the Corinthians. Eating and drinking, not discerning the Lord's body. They tacked this memorial communion onto what they call the agape feast, a love feast where people came, brought food and had a dinner, and the poor would hide in the corner to not disclose how little they brought, and the rich would show off their bounty, and some of them would even get drunk. And when it came to the Lord's Supper, they were eating and drinking as a rote thing, taking these sacred elements and not discerning their true meaning. This cup, just as the wine that Jesus took that night, did not become some transubstantiation into the blood and flesh of the Lamb of centuries earlier in Egypt. Neither does this cup be anything other than wine. As the bread he broke and the wine he drank was interpreted by him as a symbol of what he was going to do, it's now to be seen as a symbol of what he did. He shed his blood. And none of us can be worthy. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. But we can partake worthily by discerning that all that wrath of God that I've been talking about in the series on Romans was poured out on him. And all the sins that you and I have committed and all that state of being that makes us targets of God's wrath was transferred onto him. And as we partake worthily, we pause long enough to understand worthy, or rather unworthy, though we may be, all of my sins, all of your sins, my past, my present, my future, were laid on him. And as I view this cup and this little substance of red wine and see through it to that night as he anticipated this great act, that my sins were paid for by the outpouring of his blood And as I discern the fullness of what he did, my defenses have to melt, because I have none. He died for me. My sins, not just the world's sins, mine too, were laid on him and made it necessary that someone die, me or him. He died for me, and I'm made worthy by the blood of the Lamb, and I partake worthily when I see through this element that God will pass over me as he saw the blood on the door and passed over those houses in Egypt and didn't kill the firstborn therein. He passes over me, laid my sins on Jesus, and killed him that I might live. I'm made worthy, I repeat, by the blood of the Lamb, and I partake worthily, and so can you. Unworthy though I may be in my own standing, I'm made worthy, and I partake worthily as I see that, and lift this cup saying, thank you, Lord, for your wondrous grace that reached even to me. Say that as we partake together in Jesus' name. Why did they eat the lamb? The blood was sufficient. The blood was sufficient. The angel of death passed over. They were still alive. Why did they eat the lamb? Now, I want you to imagine something. Cecil B. DeMille, when he did the Ten Commandments, that great movie showed people going out on crutches, the feeble, stumbling, crippled in the midst. 3.25 million people, after years, generations of slavery, at least 40 years before the birth of Moses, and at least 80 years then of slavery out of the four generations, there were plenty of feeble and crippled people in these slave huts, some of them too small to accommodate even a lamb, as the record showed. And they're supposed to eat this lamb, this roasted lamb, in addition to putting the blood on the door. And they're supposed to eat it with their shoes on their feet and a staff in hand and eat in haste. Because the announcement was God was going to deliver them, and they got a long march to Canaan. There were crippled ones. There were sick ones. There were feeble ones. Now, I'm telling you, Cecil B. DeMille was wrong. Because the Psalms declares, they came forth from Egypt, and there was not a feeble one in their midst. Not a feeble one in their midst. They were all healed that night. And the shoes on the feet and the staff in the hand, and eating in haste, was that act of faith. Why should I eat in haste? Why should I have shoes on my feet and staff in hand? I'll have plenty of time to dress. God won't show up till 9 o'clock, so we don't have to be ready at 8. You understand? They ate the roasted lamb for strength. Another Bible passage says that. In haste, with shoes on their feet and staff in hand, ready to go. They expected, even this bunch, in their obedience, hung their body on the word of God through Moses, and they were expecting to move. I'm sure some poor person had to have his shoes put on him and had to be propped up by others in the house and a staff put in his hand. They ate the roasted lamb for strength. There's always two elements associated here. For sin, all that's needed is the shed blood. But everywhere you encounter God's saving work, His atoning work, His redemptive work, His restorative work for fallen mankind, you find healing associated with the redemption of forgiveness of sins. It's all through the types. When the serpents bit him in the wilderness, and the type of Christ was raised as the brazen serpent, all who looked had their spiritual relation restored, but they were also healed from the poisonous venom. When the men in the tribe were told to bring the silver half shekel as redemption money to the tabernacle each year, it not only was an act typifying in the silver the redemptive work of God, God goes on to say that there might be no plague in their house. Healing is there. When that great passage unfolds in Isaiah 53, bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions, chastisement of our peace, not only that removal of the barrier because of our sins and the death that was necessary to break that barrier between us and God, with His stripes, we are healed. Passover, communion. There was broken bread as well as the wine. The broken bread, He says, this is my body, broken for you. He didn't just shed His blood for our sins. With His stripes, we are healed. Peter, looking back after the event, changes the tense of the verb and says, with His stripes, ye were healed. Just as payment of my sins occurred 2,000 years ago, and I partake worthily and am made worthy in the continuing memorial act, as I partake worthily by discerning the meaning of these elements, truly my sins, I don't care what preacher's beating you over the head, my trusting faith in what He has done gives me standing before God, and the wonder of this treasure in an earthen vessel, He comes to dwell in us because of what Christ already did. Healing's there too. I need healing. Everywhere you encounter God's act, He lets us know He cares about healing us. Not some add-on to God's nature. It's in His nature intrinsically. He said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. To properly partake worthily, which is to discern what these elements mean, to discern the Lord's body and what was accomplished at Calvary in His fullness, is not only discern the power of the blood, the measure of God's grace to heal us in His broken body. I'm saying it tonight. I'm claiming it not because I deserve it. I'm made worthy of this healing because He not only took my sicknesses, my sins rather, He took my sicknesses, and the Lord laid those on Him as well. And the same act opens the door for me to claim my sins committed in my lifetime thousands of years after He bore all of them. I don't have to carry them anymore. He took them. My sicknesses were laid on Him. And with His stripes, I was healed. Past tense. Make it your promise tonight as you lift this bread and say with me, with His stripes, I was and am healed. In Jesus' name, partake now.